We'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, reading through verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, reading through verse 18. This passage of Scripture primarily is talking about the conflict that God's children have with the devil. I hope that all of you know and understand that the devil is real. He is our enemy, and that the devil is going to do everything he can to destroy your life, your home. He's going to do everything he can to destroy this church and our nation. And right now, the devil is very successful in his attempts in our nation. And I would beg all of you to pray that God's children would begin to do what's necessary to win the battle over Satan. The Word of God here tells us that we as children of God describes us in two different ways. If we're what we ought to be, one way is it describes us as wrestlers. Brother Michael, I believe, and Brother Jamie, didn't both of you used to be wrestlers? They both used to wrestle. Now, wrestling in high school is completely different than wrestling like you see on television. Wrestling on television, I hope I'm not offending anybody, but wrestling on television, I'll just leave it. Enough said there. It's more of a game and more of playing, and I used to really like it when I was a child. But then as I began to grow older, my daddy said, watch how they stomp their feet. Just every time they hit, they stomp their foot. And that's where the noise is coming from, is the stomping of the feet and things like that. So you may love it, you may believe it's real, but I know that the wrestling that I'm going to try to talk to you about this morning, I know it's real wrestling. Wrestling in high school is real wrestling. And I just ask all of you to realize that we're supposed to be in a wrestling match with Satan. The Word of God speaks about us being wrestlers, and the Word of God speaks about us being soldiers. All of us as children of God are called not only to be a wrestler, but to be a soldier, to be a good soldier. And I pray that this morning that God will help us to understand that if we're not wrestling with Satan, and if we're not putting on the whole armor of God to fight against the devil, then the devil will destroy your life. Ephesians chapter 6 now, beginning in verse 10, the Word of God says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Lest I forget it, I want all of you to know that the only way you can wrestle with the devil and the only way that you can be a good soldier and win the battle with the devil, the only way you can win any fight with the devil is if you are strong in the Lord. By yourself, alone, you'll lose the wrestling match and you'll lose the battle with the devil. You do not have the strength to fight against the devil and win by yourself. It takes the power of God, it takes strength from God in order to whip the devil. The Word of God says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, the Bible talks about how powerful the devil is. But then the Bible tells us now there's something more important. There's someone who is more powerful than the devil, and that's Jesus Christ. And whenever you look to God for the strength you need, you can win the battle against the devil. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But that also tells us that the devil is great and powerful. "Finally, my brethren," Ephesians 6, verse 10, "finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we," what's the next word there in verse 12? "For we" what? "For we wrestle." And then he tells us what we don't wrestle against. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we wrestle against. We wrestle against the devil and his angels. Did you know that the devil has angels? Did you know that there are also, the Word of God talks about evil spirits? And if you're not wrestling against those evil spirits, if you're not wrestling with the devil, if you give place to the devil, if you say, I'll let you start out ahead in this wrestling match, you'll lose the wrestling match. So he says, we wrestle against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, that means because we have to wrestle with the devil. Wherefore, he says in verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. And brethren, you can probably quote these verses. You probably know these verses by heart. But it does not do any good to memorize these verses if we do not daily put on the whole armor of God. And you can have every piece of the armor on except one. If you don't put on the whole armor of God, Satan will be able to quickly identify your weak spot and he will attack right there. You can have on the helmet of salvation. You can have your loins girt about with truth. You can have everything except the shield of faith and you'll lose the battle. You can have everything except the sword of the Spirit and you'll lose the battle. Verse 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. Do we need to learn to stand against the devil? Have you ever had an enemy, or have you ever had someone that you needed to stand against, but you were afraid to stand against them? Do you think that when David went out against Goliath, do you think that he was afraid? Do you think that Stephen was afraid? We might differ about whether or not they were afraid, but the fact is they both were looking to God for the strength that they need, and that's the reason they won their battles. So he says in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Are there many fiery darts? How many times is it that the devil is firing those fiery darts at you? How many times a day does the devil come and try to tempt you and try to afflict you and hurt you and harm you? There are many times. So you need to take the shield of faith wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then in verse 17 it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I can't emphasize too much the importance of the Word of God. If you don't have a knowledge of the Word of God, you'll lose the battle against the devil. Unless we as God's people, unless we begin to read and study the Word of God and know exactly what God says to do, and unless we begin to be doers of God's Word and not hearers only, we'll fail in the wrestling match and we'll fail in the battle against the devil and his angels. But listen, brethren, if we put on the whole armor of God and we're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, the devil and all of his angels cannot defeat you if you look to God for the strength and grace you need. It does not matter how strong the devil is. It doesn't matter how many angels the devil has. Brethren, you can win the battle if you look to God for the strength and grace you need, and if you do what God tells you to do. And the most important part, you might disagree with that, but I believe I can see the Word of God in every part of the armor of God. Doesn't matter which part of the armor you're talking about, I believe you'll see that the Word of God is inseparably connected with every part of the armor of God. So the last thing he says is take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Does he stop there? What's the very next verse say? What are the next two words there? praying always. You charge out into battle without praying. You put on the whole armor of God. You do everything else you can do. You can know the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation. You can memorize it and know it by heart. You go out to battle without praying, and you're going to lose the match. You're going to lose the wrestling match. You're going to lose the battle that day. Now let me just pause right here and explain that you winning this battle is not what gets you into eternal heaven. And if you lose the battle, that's not what would send you to eternal hell. I want all of us to understand this morning that there is a battle that has already been won by Jesus Christ. Yeah. Did you know that Jesus Christ, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came into this world and He stood toe to toe, face to face, and He fought the devil and He won the battle. And the warfare with the devil that would have kept us out of eternal hell, that warfare with the devil was won by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Back up in your Bibles, please, just a moment, to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, the Word of God talks about there is a warfare that's over. There is a battle that has already been won. And did you know I can speak comfortably to you this morning and say to you, you don't need to worry about your eternal salvation. I can tell you this morning that you don't need to worry about the devil getting hold of you and sending you to eternal hell. And the reason you don't have to worry is because of what Jesus has already done. He won the battle. The warfare is over. The battle was won by Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40 verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says here in Isaiah chapter 40, as the people of God here were worrying about their eternal salvation, He says, comfort ye my people. Comfort who? Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Listen to verse 2. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. There are so many times in the book of Isaiah that God tells His people that Jesus, there are many prophecies in the book of Isaiah about Jesus coming. You go home and read Isaiah chapter 53 and you will read in detail about the battle of Jesus Christ with the devil. And you'll read about how He won the battle. He laid down His life. He shed His blood for my sins and your sins. And that's the reason I can say to you this morning that as far as your eternal salvation is concerned, I can say to you, you don't have anything to worry about. I can speak comfortably to you and tell you that the devil cannot separate even one of God's children from the hand of God. That you're The Scripture says in Jude 1 that you are preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are kept by the power of God. You're in the hand of Jesus and you're in the hand of the Father. And you are secure in Christ Jesus because Jesus won the most important war that has ever gone on in this earth. Therefore, I can tell you, don't worry about your eternal salvation. But in the same breath that I tell you the words that God spoke to His people here, where He says, your warfare is accomplished, your iniquity is pardoned, and you've received of the Lord's hand double for all your sins. In the same breath that I tell you that that war is over, I tell you that there is still a battle for you to fight every day in your life. You fighting that battle and winning that battle will allow you to have sweet fellowship with God as you live here in this world. It'll keep you out of a hell while you live here on this earth. You'll experience great blessings of the Lord when you fight, when you wrestle with the devil and win those battles. You remember how in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe, don't turn there, just listen just a minute. The Word of God says the weapons of our warfare. Do we have a warfare to fight? Do we have a battle to fight? The weapons of what? What are the next two words there? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What does that tell you? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Let me ask you this question. Do you despise the killing of unborn children? Does it upset you about the shedding of innocent blood? My question to you is, do you now take a gun or a bomb and go to those abortion clinics and kill those people? I'll tell you, if you do that, you do something that is completely contrary to what God's Word tells you to do. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We are not to fight against flesh and blood. We're to fight principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. We're to fight against the devil and his angels. There is a warfare for us today. And that's the reason the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, says, put on the whole armor of God. That's the reason the Apostle Paul wrote to the young preacher, Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, and he said, fight the good fight of faith. Is there a fight for you? Is there a fight that's already been won? Who won that fight 2,000 years ago? Jesus Christ. What was accomplished by Him winning that battle at Calvary? Your eternal salvation was accomplished. What is accomplished by you fighting the battle while you live day by day in your life? What is the victory? What is the reward? What is the blessing you get when you fight while you live right here in this world? Instead of going to eternal heaven when you die, this is talking about getting the kingdom of heaven while you live here in this world. You can have that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost if you do what? Are there works for you to do in order to dwell in the kingdom of heaven? Do you get to eternal heaven by your works? Do you get to eternal heaven because you win the battle? Absolutely not. But do you enter the kingdom of heaven based on your works and you fighting these battles day by day? Indeed, you do. Now I'll tell you, brethren, there's nothing in this world as wonderful as the kingdom of heaven. There is no material blessing. There is nothing, there is no kingdom in this world. There is no gold and silver. There is no job. There is no house. There's no car. There is nothing in this world that's as wonderful as intimate fellowship with God. You know, when I told my wife when we were about 17 years old and we were talking about getting married, as we talked, I finally cried and told her that I felt called to preach. And she said, I already knew that. I told her I couldn't marry her because I felt called to preach. And I didn't want her to suffer like my mama had suffered as a pastor's wife. And she said, Billy, I don't care if we live in a tent. As long as you do what God would have you to do, we'll be happy. I'll tell you, brethren, those words have stuck with me, and she has never backed up on that all our lives. Everything we've been through in our lives, when I began preaching, she was willing to give up everything we had, sold everything we had, and spent it all the first year in the ministry. She was willing to give it up. And then as trials and afflictions and tribulations and battles have come up through my ministry, and it looked like this is going to be the end, this is going to be it, it's all over at this church, did you know that time and time again, she said, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Do you know why it's going to be all right? Because the riches and the pleasures and all the material things of this world, they'll not give you peace in your soul. But I'll tell you, if you can feel God's presence with you, you can do like my wife said when we were dating. You can live in a tent and be happy if it's you and the Lord. May God help us to realize the things that are really, really important in this world. May God help us to set our affections. Is it a battle? Is it a battle to set your affections on things above rather than on things of the earth? It is a continuous battle. It's not a battle you win one day and it's over. I win the battle one day and the next day I've got it to fight over again. Why? Because the devil just keeps coming back and keeps coming back. He'll fire a dart one day. He'll fire a dart the next day. He'll keep right on firing darts. And the only way that you'll not yield to those fiery darts, the only way you'll not be destroyed by those fiery darts is if you wrestle. And if you put on the whole armor of God, you've got to be a good wrestler and you've got to be a good soldier if you're going to win the battle while you live day by day. Did you know we get a victory every day? Every time you win, a temptation over the devil. Did you know you get a blessing right then? You know, some people just think that you're going to get rewards up in eternal heaven for obedience here. That's not true. All rewards that we get for our obedience and faithfulness to God, all the rewards we get are right here in this world. You might say, well, I sure feel sad about that. Oh, listen, brethren. Heaven's going to be better than anything you can comprehend. The Word of God says that on that final resurrection that we're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. We're going to be made absolutely perfect. How can you improve on that? You can't improve on being absolutely perfect. And we're going to be made like Jesus Christ. There aren't going to be any big I's and little U's in the eternal heaven. There aren't going to be different degrees of joy in the eternal heaven. We're going to all be right there with Jesus. And everybody's going to be just as happy as the next person. Now, there is a difference in the joys that God's children experience here in this world. And that's all based on you wrestling and fighting as you need to wrestle and fight. What does the devil want to do to you? Every one of you is right. Let me tell you, Brother Neil said, sift you. That's what Jesus told Peter. He said, the devil desires to have you. Does the devil desire to have you? Now, can he have you eternally? He can't have you eternally, but can he get hold of your life right now and cause you to live in a hell here on this earth? Indeed, he can. Jesus told Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Have you ever been through that kind of sifting? Have you ever lost a battle and the devil just got hold of your life and shook you and sifted you as wheat? Seemed like he just ground you to powder. Listen, brethren, those things sometimes happen. But here's what Jesus said to Peter after he said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And he did that with Peter. But Jesus says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Listen, brethren, when the devil gets a victory over your life and he wins a battle one day, you get right back up and you get ready to fight again. You get ready to wrestle again. Don't you ever give up, because the power of God will help you to get back up and start all over. You know how many times I've started over in my life? You know how many times I've started over in my ministry? You know how many times I've quit? You know how many times I've lost battles? I can't tell you how many times I've lost battles. I can't describe how many times I've quit the ministry. But I'll tell you, brethren, every time the devil gets me down, there's something for me to do, and that's get right back up. You say, how can you get back up? I'll tell you how. It's in the strength and the power of the Lord. You can't get this idea, you pick yourself up by your bootstraps. You can't do that. That's an impossibility. But when you look to God and you say, God, I need your help. Help me back up. Help me put on the whole armor of God. Help me start over. Help me to forget those things that are behind. Help me to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Help me, Lord. I need your help. Help me. Help me. Help me. And you know what He'll do? He'll help you. That's right, sister. He'll help you. He sure will. He'll help you. Brother Brooks, you ever been through some battles in your life? How often? Pretty often. Everybody in this building, you go through battles. You may not even recognize some battles are going on. If you don't even know some battles are going on, He's pretty well got you covered up. He's pretty well won the battle. I beg you to wake up and realize we need God's help to fight, to be a good wrestler, and to be a good soldier. The devil is as a roaring lion. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. He goes to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may, what? Devour, destroy. He's ready to destroy you. He's ready to destroy me. And destroy me he will if I don't look to God for the strength and grace I need. If I don't put on the whole armor of God, if I'm not a good wrestler, if I want to say I'm going to retire, let me ask you this question. At what point can you retire from being a soldier of Jesus Christ? How old do you get that the devil doesn't tempt you anymore? How old do you get that you don't have these battles? I'll tell you, Sister Queen Waters, as old as she was, listen, she fought those battles every time she came to the house of the Lord. Every time she would come here and that car would pull up out there and she would begin to stand up, you could hear the bones creaking and rubbing and screeching, and she would feel pain. But do you know what she was doing? She was looking to the Lord for the strength and grace she needed. And all of you, in all different kinds of ways, the devil is attacking you financially and physically. Did the devil attack Job? Did he attack Job? Yes, he did. I'm telling you, the devil is as ruthless as anybody can be. The devil began to say, Lord, let me touch him and he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord gave him permission. And the devil began to take away his head. He took away his camels and his sheep and his asses and his servants. He took away all of his possessions. My question to you this morning is, if the devil takes away everything you have materially, will you still do like Job and say, the Lord what? The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It wasn't just his possessions he lost. He lost all 10 of his children. I hope and pray that God would give me the grace. If I lose all of my children, I hope God will give me the grace to say what Job did. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what he was doing right there? You think the devil left him alone right then? No, sir. The devil was right there wrestling with him. The devil was wrestling with him. You know what Job did? He pinned him to the ground. He won the battle right there. And then the devil comes back and says, Lord, he still maintained his integrity, but if you'll let me touch his body. Does the devil take away material possessions? Does the devil sometimes even take away loved ones? Indeed, he does. But does the devil sometimes also afflict our bodies with sicknesses and diseases? Indeed, he does. And when those things come, you better not question God. You better look to God. You need to pray, God, help me. No matter what your problems are, no matter what your sicknesses are, no matter what kind of disease has come in your life, I beg you in the name of Christ, win the battle, wrestle the devil, and fight him and win the victory. And you can do it by the grace of God. Yes, you can. What's the devil want to do? John 8, chapter 44, Jesus says the devil is two things he mentions there. What is he? He's a murderer and a what? And a liar. Will the devil tell you it's all right to do what you want to do? Will the devil tell you that? Yes, he will. Why? What did he tell Eve? Oh, God said you shall not die. You shall die. Oh, no, you won't die. That's what the devil told Eve. God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You know what the devil said? Ye shall not surely die. Is the devil a liar? Yes, he is. Will he lie to you? Can he deceive you? The only way that you cannot be deceived by the devil is if you have a firm knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. You need to study God's Word every day. Because if you don't know what God has said, the devil will say something that sounds good and it sounds reasonable, but it's completely contrary to God's Word and God's way. You know why? Because God's ways are not as our ways. And if you lean to your own understanding, you're going to be deceived and destroyed by the devil. What's the devil trying to do to you right now? You know the devil's going to work in every single heart here as you leave today. You know the devil's going to be right there. Oh, by the way, he's here too. The devil's here. He's in the house of God. I remember I used to think, well, you know, you come into the house of God, isn't it wonderful to be away from the devil? Oh, the devil's in here with us. You go home and read Job chapter 1, you'll find that when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, that Satan came also among them. Is the devil in this building this morning? Is he sitting real close to you? I wish everybody in the world could hear what she just said. The devil will be quiet and he'll leave you alone. And then when all of a sudden you need something, he'll jump and he'll hurt you. He's been sitting right there all the time, just waiting. Say it again. Okay, he'll make you hurt yourself. Listen, brethren, the devil is real. I know we talk about how great God is and how real God is. God is real, and God is greater than the devil. But other than God, there is no greater force on this earth than the devil. You and I need the Lord's help to win the battles over the devil. You know what the devil's going to do to you? What does the Word of God say about the parable of the sower? The seed is what? The seed is what? The Word of God. And as the seed is sown, what's the devil going to come and do? What's the devil going to... He's going to come take the Word right out of your heart. Have you ever not known what the preacher preached? I'm probably going to get on the phone about Wednesday and call some of you and say, what did I preach about Sunday? What did I preach about? Well, now that I've warned you, you probably will try to remember it a little better. But had I not warned you, listen, there's sometimes preachers ask me, what did you preach about last Sunday? And I'm like a deer caught in the headlights. I can't remember until I think about it a little bit. You know why? Because the devil's already come and taken the Word right out of my heart. Did you know the only people that have the Word in their heart is a child of God? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. The children of God receive the Word in their heart, and the Scripture says, and for a while they rejoice in the Word of God. Do you know the only people that ever rejoice in the Word of God are children of God? But then what does the devil do? The devil comes and takes the Word right out of your heart. Why does he want the Word out of your heart? Because he knows the most powerful, the most effective tool that you have that's connected with every part of the armor of God is the Word of God. I hope that God will help all of us this morning to recognize and realize we better be wrestlers. We better not be fake wrestlers. You stomp your foot at the devil by yourself, and you pretend you're going to beat him, and you'll lose every time. Because you can't fake him out. You pretend you love the Lord. You pretend you've got God on your side. You pretend you're prayed up. You're going to lose the battle. You better stay close to God. You better read His Word. You better depend on the Lord every day. May God help us. We need God's help. May God help us to open our eyes and see, like Sister Stalvey said, the devil's right here. The devil's right beside me. And the devil's going to tempt you. And the devil's going to attack you. May God help us all to wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. May God help us to put on the whole armor of God and stand against the wiles of the devil is my prayer for Christ's sake.